Good morning, almost going into afternoon now. As many of you know, I've been in ministry for a little over 30 years. I began full-time ministry from the seminary years when I was 23, and now I'm 57, so you do the math. And when I first began full-time ministry, this was the task at hand. Korean American immigrant churches had many, many young people, yet the challenge was that there were a lot of churches without many young people. So the task at hand was this, that we need to bring back the young people to church. So one of a way to make this happen was to fortify Sunday school, to have a good education program, and we did. Churches invested many people and finance in order to educate the people of next generation. And 30 plus years pass, and we look back and we look at now, and we're not doing too well. We're still struggling with the same issue of the next generation being absent in church. Our goal was to bring them back, yet the church has lost many. So the reason why we're starting this English worship service at Chodae is so that we can reach out to those people who were invested 20, 30 years ago. Children who were in Sunday school program 30 years ago, you may be in your 40s. And the kids who were in youth ministry 30 years ago, you may be in your 50s and 60s. And this worship service is to reach out to you, to bring you back to church and to God. As I'm hearing nonstop report of casualties of COVID-19 worldwide, there's a part of me that I didn't know I had it, such a huge emotion about this, is this thing called fear. Even though I am a pastor of a church, part of me is afraid of what's going to happen to the people around me and to the church and to even myself. I know we need to be careful so that we will not be infected, but we also need to be careful not to infect other people. And this sense of fear is growing on me. And so I was kind of praying, God, what should be the first sermon that I need to deliver to the English congregation of our church? And so as I was praying, I had this conviction, rather than any other subject, to preach about the subject of fear. So next four Sundays, maybe skipping, you know, I'm going to actually preach the sermon on the Easter sermon separately, but then other four times I'm going to be dealing with the subject of fear. And today we are going to be dealing with the subject of loneliness, that people fear loneliness. So here we go. Late Mother Teresa said this: the biggest disease today is not leprosy or cancer. It is a feeling of being uncared for, unwanted, of being deserted and alone. And I second that statement. Today, me and more and more people suffer from this debilitating disease called loneliness. This illness affects people of all ages, all gender, all ethnicity, and all economic level. It affects anytime and anywhere. It's just like this virus that we have to deal with now. It is slow in developing, but once it sets in, loneliness can do much damage to all of us. Unless it is treated, it can have a tragic result. Here are some of the tragic outcomes of loneliness. Some people are affected mentally, emotionally, and they have a hard time, incapable of functioning. Some turn to substance abuse, turning to alcohol and drugs for temporary escape. Others, they have breakup of marriage and friendships. And some even take drastic measure of killing themselves. And others, mass murder. We have witnessed time after time teenagers turning guns on their peers and teachers, blaming others for the loneliness that they're experiencing in life. We don't like to be lonely. We don't want to be loners. However, we are driving ourselves more and more into seclusion. Today's techno gadgets are not helping us. We have all these techno gadgets. We have the cell phones. We have means of communicating online, virtually. We don't have to have a necessarily human contact. In fact, what we're experiencing right now, not being able to meet face to face, we are using this technology in order to communicate with one another. So it almost became like our culture and our society can function without having to meet one another. You don't have to go see or go to the bank in order to do banking. You do online banking. You don't have to go shopping in order to shop. You do online shopping. And now we have to resort to this online service. I miss the service that we can all can gather and all can shake hands and praise together and worship together. People are more concerned of living independent lives than interdependent lives. Look at the family structure right now. America is unique in their feelings that each member should have a separate room, separate telephones, cell phones, and their own cars when economically possible. We seek more and more privacy, and we're more alienated and lonely than ever before. We see on teenagers' doors saying that, you know, keep out, you know, do not come in. Is that a cry for some kind of a relationship, or is it really, do they want to be alone? The truth of the matter is, we're not immune from that isolation and sense of loneliness. I bet this morning, though you may be worshiping next to someone, it might be a family member, you may be feeling lonely. I have a news for you. You're not alone. We can catch this germ of loneliness time to time. In fact, you may be infected by this thing called loneliness. What does God have to say about loneliness? Genesis 2:18 says this, "It isn't good for a man to be alone." God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden where everything was perfect. Everything that they wanted, possibly wanted, was in there. There were no problems, no sins, no headaches, no suffering, no kids. So I guess that helps us not to suffer and have a headache. Yet, first thing that God said wasn't good. It says it wasn't good for men to be alone. God doesn't want us to be alone. In fact, God doesn't want us to feel this loneliness. In fact, in short, God is not so thrilled about loneliness. Yet men and women of God, time to time, we experience ourselves loneliness. We may not go out and shoot people or commit suicide or have to go see a therapist. But those times, we become prey. We, time to time, we become prey of evil one, of just having to suffer alone. Unless we're careful, we can fall into this temptation of loneliness. You see, spiritually mature people are not immune to loneliness. They too can have a state of loneliness. Some even go on to saying and even scold the other Christians. The reason why you're feeling loneliness is because you're not a good Christian or your faith is not strong enough. Loneliness has nothing to do with weak or strong faith. We look at the case of Paul in today's scripture. Paul felt lonely. In fact, this passage that we read today is time when Paul felt so lonely, you can almost hear the words of resentment in his life. And we want to examine his life and to see, really, how does a man of God deal with loneliness? Paul seemed to have sensed that this was going to be the end of his journey on this earth. He is nearing the end of his life. And he's writing this letter. And when we hear God's man, Paul, ache of loneliness, he had many reasons why he was aching of loneliness. First of all, the location where he was in made him lonely. He wrote from a dark, damp, cold prison cell. Not exactly the place that you want to spend the final days writing your memoirs. Sometimes, seasons of our lives make us depressed and lonely. Men in the U.S., when they turn 40, you know, they say that they go through a midlife crisis. When I turned 40, I bought a Toyota Celica, kind of a sports lookalike, And I wanted to get a red one, but my wife stopped me and I had to get a white one. And many people commented that I was going through a midlife crisis. Some people do some drastic stuff because when they turn 40, somewhere, somehow, we feel this emptiness and loneliness. For women, as they go through the menopause, I hear that they go through similar emotions. You see, certain seasons of our life puts us in a place where we feel kind of depressed, lonely, and drained and empty. Paul was in that place. And he had really labored all that he had in order for him to really expand the kingdom of God. Yet, at the end of his life, he is in jail. While Jesus walked on earth, at times, he felt alone. There was a season of his life that all his disciples left him. In fact, it was a time that he needed them the most, yet he had to go through the cross and that cross alone. At times, location and season of our lives puts us in a lonely place. Secondly, Paul, his relationship with others made him lonely. In today's passage, verse 9 and 10 says this, "Do your best to come quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world and has deserted me, has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia." He felt a sense of betrayal. These people actually were co-workers in Christ, and now nowhere to be found. They were all gone. That made him sad and lonely. Verse 16, Paul says this, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me." Being deserted by those people that you trusted is one of the hardest things that we go through in life, and that puts us in a very lonely place. In my ministry in California, I was at a church where there were a lot of turmoils, and there was a lot of struggle between the leadership. And one Sunday, I came to church, and the church door was shut. And the sign that said the church was canceled and no longer available for people to worship. That was heartbreaking enough. But then one of my associate pastor, who was supposed to be with me, who was supposed to be co-laborer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was nowhere to be found. And when I found him, he was inside the church with the people who locked the church up. More than the church being shut down, it really ripped my heart when I saw someone that I trusted, someone that I counted on, betraying. A betrayal can put us in a lonely place. And thirdly, for Paul, season of year made him lonely. Winter was nearing, autumn leaves were falling, and chilly winds blowing. And that's why Paul says in verse 21, "Do your best to get here before winter." You see, here in New Jersey, when we go through autumn, fall, it's a beautiful place. You know, leaves are changing and all the foliage makes all things so beautiful. But the fact is, these trees are changing colors in preparation for death. The leaves will fall and die. And though we say we appreciate the color change, but for tree is a season of death. The season of year, as the winter was nearing, being in prison made him depressed and lonely. And lastly, he was lonely because he knew that his end was near and there were not people around him. Great men of God look forward to going to heaven. Paul wasn't afraid of dying, but he must have been really kind of sad that he was dying alone. Paul was a human being, and as he has to face the end alone, this is what he says in today's passage, verse 6. "For I am already being poured out like drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." He knows, and he knew that his end was near. All of us who are living in faith, we know that our time will come. Our end nears as day goes by. We have hope and we have assurance of salvation and we know that we will go to heaven. Yet, as we near that time, we want people to be around us. We want people to be with us. One of the hardest things that I'm going through, this whole transition of having to stay home, is not being able to spend time with the people that I care and love. I'm hearing there are people who need pastoral care, yet not being able to run and be with them. That really depresses me. We're human beings. Even though we know that we are going to go to be with the Lord, having to face it alone, that at times puts us in a very lonely place. What did Paul do? Did he just accept, okay, you know, I'm going to be lonely, sad, depressed, and this is, I guess, how I'm going to end it? No, Paul was a man of faith. You see, fear and loneliness, at times, it really paralyzes us. But faith causes us to do something about it. Paul had every reason to be depressed and lonely, but he did not resort to any unhealthy behavior. He decided to do something about it. And a few things that he did in the scripture we find. First, Paul was asking for companionship. Paul did not ask for any companionship, but specifically those whom he wanted to see and needed. Beside Timothy, he wanted Mark to come as well. You see, Mark was someone that Paul didn't get along with in the beginning of his ministry. But somehow along the journey, their relationship got mended. And now in times of true need, in times of loneliness, Paul is asking for Mark to come and to visit him. When you're going through hardship and loneliness, we don't need crowd. We just need few important ones. A few who can be an encouragement. For a couple, it could be your spouse. Could be the best friend that you ever had in times of loneliness. For single people, your best friend may be your source of strength. God put your family members together for a reason. For us to be an encouragement. For us to be an empowerment of one another. God didn't put the family together in order for us to fight with one another and bicker with one another. You see, while Jesus walked on earth, he touched a whole lot of people. He loved to touch lonely people, literally touching them. Even in our household, you know, I used to wake up in the morning and you know, hug my wife and give kiss and all that. But not being able to touch them is really frustrating and depressing at times. Japanese sculptor came to America with a unique twist on his art. At his exhibit, each state had a small sign on the bottom that says, "Please touch." Usually, artists don't want people to touch their work, but this artist wanted people to touch. He literally wanted people to feel his art. We are so used to "don't touch, do not enter," yet we are surrounded by people who want to be touched. There was a jingle many years ago. I think it was done by AT&T. Reach out and touch someone. That is a great jingle. Reach out and touching someone and being able to touch someone is a blessing. Things that we used to take for granted. We used to take handshake for granted. Now I realize handshake was a blessing. Now that we cannot do it anymore. Hug is a blessing. To put our hands on someone's shoulder and praying for them is a blessing. Asking for companionship, true companionship in times of need, is something that we all need to do. In times that we are just confined in our homes, we can still reach out and touch someone. We all have cell phones. Please call your parents, your mom, your dad, your siblings, your friends, and your brothers and sisters in Christ. And second thing that Paul asks is for bodily comfort. He's asking for his cloak in verse 13. He could have been so pathetic about his circumstances that he could have given up in life and get sick and die. So, I guess this is the best it gets. And just he could have just died. But Paul was human enough to ask for help. He's asking for his cloak. Not a brand new one, but the one he wore before. The one that carried stories of his ministry. And I share this story all the time. In my house, I have these shoes that I really treasure. I had many, many shoes. I had like dozens of shoes in my life. if not hundreds that I wore. But this one shoes, even though it's worn out and it's dirty, I don't throw it away. It's a comfort shoes. It's a shoes that I traveled the world. I went to the Great Walls of China and climbed that wall on that shoes, and I walked in Indonesia, and I went through Africa and all these places, wonderful places that I dreamt of going, and I went there, and I always wore that shoes. And that shoes is a special shoes. Even though it's nothing special about it to other people, to me it's special because it has stories. For Paul, having his cloak was important because that cloak represented part of his life and story. There's nothing unspiritual about asking the people for human needs when you're in need. Sometimes we feel burdened. Oh, I don't want to be a burden to other people. But as Christians, we need to humble ourselves and ask for help when we need to. We trust in Lord's provision, and how God provides is through people. It's not that God is going to drop a bag of food or a bag of toilet paper in your lawn. God is going to use somebody to deliver to you. Our church has a care ministry. It's a wonderful ministry. When I first came and heard about this ministry, wow, I was quite impressed. This ministry have people who are really good cook. They deliver food to those who are in need. Someone who just gave birth, who cannot cook, they deliver food. And they just leave outside the door and just ring the bell and run away because they don't want to burden them, and they don't want them to feel like burdened. Someone who just had surgery, someone who lost loved ones, they deliver food. It's just as Paul asked for help. We need to reach out and ask for help from people. And the third thing that Paul did was asking for reading material. He asked for his scrolls, especially the parchments. He wanted some books to be delivered to jail. But among the books, he wanted parchment. There were scriptures, old copies of the scripture. The word of God is what gives us strength and security. As we read the promises of God, and as we believe in his promises, we are strengthened. If you read the Bible, there are many passages that really promises that God will deliver. For example, Genesis 28:15 says, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you." God is talking about companionship, that he is going to be with us, going together. In these times of struggle, in these times of hardship, that same promise is given to us. That God is not going to leave us. God is not going to say, okay, you do it alone and see what you can do. God is going to be with us until his promise is kept. Psalm 121:8 says this, "The Lord will keep you going out and you coming in from this time forth and forevermore." That he is going to be watching us and helping us. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Nobody can escape the pain of loneliness. It is not the amount of people that's around you that protect you from being lonely. Albert Einstein said this, "It is strange to be known so universally and yet to be so lonely." If you're not a believer, your remedy to loneliness could be alcohol, drugs, unhealthy behavior. But if you are a child of God, follow the examples of God. Look for people around you to share your life with. Share your stories. Share your loneliness. We are called to build bridges, not walls. And look not only to be touched, but touch someone who is in need, who is lonely. And take care of yourself and others' needs. There's nothing unspiritual about asking someone for help. At times, our pride gets in the way and says, well, I don't need help. I can take care of myself. No, we are such weak beings. We realize and recognize how weak we are in these times of COVID-19 pandemic. We can't even see the virus, yet we are being just controlled by this virus. So there's nothing wrong about asking for help. Read some good books, especially read the Bible. I don't know how long we'll be confined to our homes, but make plan to read some good books, especially read the Word of God and see what God says to us. If you don't know where to start, John, Gospel of John is a good book to start. You see, loneliness is caused not by being alone, but being without close relationship. I pray that if you have this fear of being lonely, that you will come into a deep relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. God never says, try to make it alone and good luck. No, he says that he is going to be our friend, our shepherd, our guide. Not few times, sometimes, but till the end of the age. And sometimes God uses you and I in order to be a delivery person of a good hope, good news to the lonely people. As we conclude the message, I want all of us to really, if you are worshiping with the family members, if husband and wife is there, or if there are children there worshiping with you, you know, I want to just leave you with these two questions for you to ponder and share together. You know, let's really open up our hearts, and this is a great opportunity as family is gathered together in one place, which is really hard to do these time and age. This is an opportunity that is given to us. Ask this question. Was there any time in my life I felt lonely? What caused that loneliness? What was it that made me so lonely? And second question that I want to pose to you is this. God promised us to be with us in all circumstances. However, there are times that I don't feel his presence. Have you ever felt spiritually lonely? What did you do and what can you do? It's a good question to ponder and to share with the family members. This is the first English worship service. I wish it was kind of with all people together, but we felt the need to reach out to those people who, especially family members who are together, that this is an opportunity for us to really connect with one another and open up our hearts and to be real with each other. We don't want to be fake people. We don't want to pretend. We want to be real before God and before one another, because God is looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. And may you truly overcome the fear that is hovering over us with the faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, at times we do not know why things happen the way they do, but we believe that you have all things under control. Though human beings say that this is out of control, this is uncontrollable, we believe in God who makes all things beautiful in his time. With that faith, we declare to whatever happens in our circumstances, in our lives, that Jesus reigns. Our God reigns. May we not live our life in fear, but live with confidence of knowing that you are my shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.